Blog Talk Radio.
Dead man walking.
You've done it now.
You've done and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the piper you're gonna pay.
Cause the end is now.
This is gonna be a judgment.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of the Big Dog Yard. The yard is opening. I'm off my leash. First of all, I want to say good to be back. You know, our plan is always to do this every week or so, but, you know, our plans and God's plans don't always match up. And sometimes life gets in the way, but it's good to be talking to you again. It is Easter weekend. The Friday was yesterday. Easter Sunday is tomorrow. So we know there's going to be a lot of people at church who we never see come 3 or 4 days a year. Everybody dressed up in their Sunday best, their brand new outfits on, which has nothing to do with Jesus. We'll get to the topic in a minute, but I wanted to make a quick comment about an incident. You know, we heard about a few weeks ago when the news came out that Monet Davis was going to, Disney was going to do a movie about her, and then the baseball player from Bloomsburg tweeted, you know, basically he's sick of seeing her and called this child a slut, and his tweet was systematically removed from the team. And of course, Monet Davis, you know, being the type of child she is, took the high road and said she forgave him, asked the school not to punish him. And she's better, you know, better person than me. But, you know, I think it speaks to several issues. And like I said, I wanted to do a whole show on that, but that, you know, that news cycle has kind of passed, and I don't necessarily want to get too deep into that today. But we should all be concerned that this guy, who's a college student, he's not a kid anymore. He's a junior, I believe. And even if he was a freshman, he's not a little kid. This guy, this white man, called this little black girl a slut for no reason. I mean, even if she was, I mean, she's a child, okay? You don't know her. You know nothing about her. But that's how he decided to describe this little black child. So We as a black community, we as an American community, I don't care what color you are, we should be outraged that this man felt the need to call this little black child, this little female black girl, a slut. All right, you don't want to see her on TV? I'm sure there are people, you get tired of seeing people on TV. I mean, at one point I got tired of hearing Miley Cyrus's name. It's like every day. Like, I don't care if she's wrecking ball, and I don't care what she's doing. I got tired of hearing her name. Some people, I know, in my house, you know, we love Taylor Swift, but there was a period of time I got tired of hearing her name. It was like every time I turned around, she was on the news, she was on an award show, a new song was coming out, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, can she take a break? And then she did, and she came back. So, you know, you get tired of seeing people on the news or on TV, but, you know, this dude went a little too far. No, he went too far. He got a little too far. He went too far. Jealousy clearly has something to do with it. You know, I mean, dude, you're in Division II, Bloomsburg, playing baseball, you may make it to the majors and you may not, you know, but nobody's really paying any attention to you. I mean, let's face it, the greatest thing that came out of Bloomsburg that I know of was Jahri Evans, you know, of the New Orleans Saints, Super Bowl champion that I, you know, have known for some years. We go to the same church. So we went to the same church. So, you know, Monet Davis more than likely, you know, we don't know how long her fame is going to last. I mean, you know, next year, Taney Dragon, she may not even be eligible to play. She says basketball is actually her best sport. So, you know, we may not hear about her for some time, and then all of a sudden she'll be playing for UConn or somebody. But the fact that he called her a slut should bother everybody because it speaks to several issues, including the disrespect of our young women, black and white, and the over-sexualization of our young women, to call a 13-year-old girl a slut. I mean, that's, I mean, there are a lot of words he could have used. I mean, anything, you know, chick, whatever, you know. But he went way left, and, you know, people are talking about free speech and everything. And he, again, that's, I mean, that's a show I think I'm going to have to do next, freedom of speech and what that actually means. So I'm glad Monet, you know, wasn't harmed, you know, as much as she could have been by this incident. She took the high road, and I'm glad that she's moving forward. Now, today's topic. Self-destruction. Those of y'all from my era, you understand where I went with that. Anyway, just because I'm a Christian does not mean you are going to walk all over me. So why is my chain rattled about this? Well, you know, this is not a new thing for me. I've been a Christian for many, many, many years, and I have struggled with reconciling how to treat people well in the midst of being mistreated. Now, we all do that. I mean, Jesus had to do it. And believe me, I'm not even close to being on Jesus' level, so I'm not suggesting that, you know, if Jesus could do it, I could do it. I'm not even close. I try to do it every day. I mean, you know, the golden rule, you know, the paraphrase is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, you treat people the way you want people to treat you. If you want to be, you know, you be honest with people if you want people to be honest with you. You know, you're sensitive to people's needs if you want them to be sensitive to yours. You're empathetic to things they're going through if you want them to show you empathy. And so on and so on. You respect people for who they are and their opinions and things like that. You don't have to agree with everybody, but you can respect what they're saying and have a meaningful dialogue without, you know, going far left. So why does all this matter? Well, like I said, it's something I've struggled with for years. And over the last 2 or 3 years, it's really been an issue for me because it seems that, you know, the incidents, I guess is that what you want to call them, continue to happen from people that I don't expect it from. I mean, that's the thing with, and I don't want to use the word betrayal because, you know, really, I don't know if it rises to that level, but if you think about it, someone attacking you, your character, or attacking, you know, just coming at you with all this, you know, anger and just coming at you, basically. You know, again, attacking you, not physically, but, you know, attacking what you're saying, what you're thinking, or responding to an inquiry or responding to general conversation from you with anger and whatever becomes an attack. That usually comes from somebody you know. And betrayal can only come from somebody you know. A stranger can't betray you because they don't know you. They don't know you well enough to betray you. They can't betray your trust because you haven't developed any trust. So most of these things that have been bothering me have been coming from people that I know. And I've been trying to not, you know, have a flashback because I wasn't always a Christian. And granted, I got baptized when I was young, about 14. Now, it didn't mean as much. I didn't realize what my commitment was until I got older, unfortunately. I mean, I understood what baptism was. I understood what it meant. But I didn't understand, you know, the ramifications as far as my behavior, things like that, until, you know, I studied more and got older, as you do with a lot of things. So, you know, I've had periods of time in my life where, you know, I certainly wasn't acting like a Christian. I know that. Especially, you know, time in college, things like that. I said things out my mouth, you know, probably done some things that would definitely not be considered Christian-like. So I'm not putting myself on a pedestal or anything like that, but I, you know, but people's reaction to things that I may have said or may have done, I felt, you know, they were probably justified. So the crux to what I'm trying to get to is, as a Christian, how do we deal with, you know, the attacks from people? Because there's only so many times I can turn the other cheek. I'm not talking about physical attacks. I'm not, I mean, I'm not. I mean, I can't see me standing there letting somebody actually hit me. You know, I walk away. I've had people push me and bump into me on purpose and things and try to start stuff, and I've walked away. And often I'm bigger than that person, or, you know, a lot of times I probably would have no problem defending myself, but rather than let the situation escalate, I have walked away. But a conversation is something different. When you are having a conversation or you're having a meeting or a discussion and there's an opposing point of view and somebody literally is just coming at you like, you know, like, A, you don't have any sense, and B, you know, they basically letting you know that they're not going to take this and you're not going to talk to them in no kind of way, even though all you said was this is what's happening. You know, if I say to you, you know, today is Saturday, which it is, and then suddenly you know, you're not going to tell me what day it is. Okay, you're just acting crazy. I didn't say, yo, it's Saturday, idiot, or it's Saturday, you don't know what you got on a calendar. No, I just said, yo, today is Saturday, right? No, oh, man, I'm, you know, so those are the, those type of things. And that's the most recent example. I mean, I got, believe me, I got others. But, you know, recently at my new job, which I love, by the way. I'm enjoying my new job. I mean, I've had some, the last couple of weeks I've been a little trying. I ain't going to lie. But it's been, I like my new job. I like, for the most part, I like the surroundings. You know, no job is perfect, but I enjoy it. And I believe it can be a great place to work and be for some time. But, you know, we had a meeting with my particular department, and I made a statement to one of the young ladies in the department, and she went way left with it. And suddenly, you know, suddenly it was, you know, she's not going to sit there and be disrespected, and this and another thing, you know, when she's raising her voice. And then, and I'm sitting back like, yo, like, first of all, nobody said nothing to you like that. Second of all, how is it you can sit there and say you won't be disrespected and reciprocate with so-called, you know, with disrespect, when all I said was something you just didn't agree with, you know? And, you know, for the most part, I kept my mouth shut the rest of the meeting. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I could pop off if I really wanted to. Like, I could just let her have it. You know, and there's things that, because, you know, she likes to get personal when she get upset, then she likes to bring in personal stuff. And I could do the same, but I'm like, that's not who I am. And, again, I'm trying to treat her the way I would hope to be treated. But over the last couple of years, I have found that the people that I know, and including other so-called Christians, do not treat you how you would like to be treated when you're treating them the same way. You know, again, another work example at my previous spot. There was a period of time where I did not have a vehicle. And for my job, we need a vehicle. We do home visits. We do a lot of traveling. And, you know, at some point, my vehicle was not accessible, wasn't working, whatever, whatever. So I went to my partner, who I work with, you know, closely. You know, we did visits together all the time. This is when we both had a vehicle, and he just loved to drive. So he'd be like, yo, let's go do some visits. So we'd be like 9-10 visits in one day. Cool. So my van goes down, my vehicle is down, so I come to him and I say, listen, I know, you know, I don't know when I'm going to get a car, this, that, another thing. Since we got a lot of visits in the same area, can we coordinate schedules and we'll just do visits? You know, I said, I'll hook you up with some gas money, this, that, another thing. You know, now, two things you need to be aware of. One, at the time where I was living at home, I lived literally 5 minutes away from him. Like, he had to pass my house where I live. He had to pass the block that leads to my, that led to my block, that ran perpendicular, or that intersected my block, I'm sorry. He had to pass that street to get to work. So, you know, occasionally I would ask him, you know, could you swing by and get me for court, or that, you know, like, I didn't mind catching the train to work to the office, but to get to court, I want to make sure I was on time. And he was an older dude, so, you know, older dudes always try to be early. So I'm like, can you swing by and get me? And he was like, well, you know, the gas. I'm like, wait, how are you using any extra gas when you coming toward my house? I'm just like, I'll meet you at the bus stop. We'll jump in the car. I jump in the car. We're going to the same spot, right? So that became an issue. Then, you know, some days when it was like, well, I, you know, I can drop you off at home, but I'm like, you know, after a while, I just stop, you know, I just like, it's whatever. But the home visit situation, like I said, you know, he would come back from being out and be like, you know, he would talk about the 4, 5, or 6 places he went. And then I would look at my list and be like, oh, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so you went to this block, and I had a house like 2 blocks over. You know, not on the number street, but like he'd be on 26 and let's say 26 and Lehigh, and I had a family on 29th and Lehigh. And then he would be on, you know, Dolphin Street, and then like the 2600 block of Dolphin, and I had a family on the 2300 block of Dolphin. Like, it was that close. Like, nothing was, like, out of range. I had one family that was really out of, you know, 2 families who was, you know, far from the job, and those I arranged to take care of myself. You know, I borrowed my boy from church's car, who was truly a good brother, truly a Christian. And, you know, actually, you know, despite the fact that we didn't really have the money, I was renting a car a lot. So it was what it was, right? But basically, it was like, if the situation had been reversed, it wouldn't have been an issue for me. Because I would have felt like I'm helping out my brother. I would have been like, I'm doing what, you know, I want to make sure that he's able to get his job done, continue to do what he has to do. There were periods of time when he had helped me out with different things. Sometimes it's just a little thing, but I would have been fine with scooping him up in the morning. You know, we go to work, you know, we do the visits, push them aside, you know, we want to bring you home, you know, if I ain't got a late visit, cool. And I didn't have a lot of late visits, you know. So I would have had no problem with that. In fact, at one point, I'm sure I discussed this one time, at some point, his vehicle, when we both had a vehicle, his vehicle was down for a week, and I picked him up every single day. So I would go get him, and this is when I was taking my daughter to school, so I would get him, drive the opposite direction, pick him up, come back, take my daughter to school, and then me and him would go. A couple of times I had to take my wife to work and then take me and him to work, and then I was bringing him home and doing visits, but none of that meant anything to me. I was just like, you know, this is my brother. I'm going to help him. But when the time came to be like, you know, let me help out my brother, it was, oh, I can't, this, that, another thing. And, you know, it was painful for me. You know, because, I mean, this dude, I really thought me and this dude was close. So, like, now, even when we see each other now, he's like, yo, give me a call or whatever. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have no desire to talk to him. I really don't. Because, you know, you basically let me know that you are a fair-weather friend, and you're a deacon in your church, and this, that, and the other thing. You keep trying to get me to come to these men's breakfasts at your church, every first Saturday or whatever. But I feel like you're a hypocrite. Now, again, I'm not perfect. I make all kinds of mistakes. I do stuff that I know I shouldn't do. You know, I say things that, you know, could probably be considered a sin. I think things that are probably a sin. I'm sure I do things that are considered a sin. But the one thing I try to ever do is not help somebody when I can be of help. Now, sometimes you just can't. And if you can't, you can't. But if somebody needs your help and you're able to help, I don't understand. You know what I mean? So then, as a Christian, you know, what do you say? Like, last time I saw him, because we where I work at now, we do run into each other occasionally. Because we work, he doesn't work where we used to work. I don't work where we used to work, but we occasionally run into each other. And the last time we saw each other, he's like, you know, give me a call. This, that, another thing. My earthly mind, you know, the human part of me wanted to just be like, F him a call you for. What you going to tell me? You going to invite me to another men's breakfast? So what? What you going to tell me? We don't have anything to talk about. Like, we really don't, because you made it clear to me that you don't mind helping out when it's, you know, and I'm not saying, again, it's not his place, but that's not the point. We help people that we can help for as long as we can or as much as we can. You know, we do the best we can. And if we're not, I mean, but not being willing is something totally different. It's one thing to be like, all right, listen, I've been helping you. We've been doing this for a couple months. Yo, I really can't do it no more. Okay, you've been helping me, though, so cool. You did what you could do for as long as you could do it. But the base would just be like, you know, you're on your own. And then to come to me and be like, you know, so how you making out? How you think I'm making out, dog? How you think I'm making out? And yet I was always the one with my paperwork straight. All my visits are done. I don't have a car, but all my visits are done. Y'all struggling to get y'all's done. You know, God worked it out for me to have help from my true brothers. So I don't know how other Christians deal. I'm curious how other Christians deal with, you know, how people, when people come up, because is it, you know, sometimes you, listen, when you're wrong, you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a difference between, you know, there's a difference between if, you know, if I had said something out of pocket, I would have understood any kind of reaction because, you know, I deserve that. But when you simply are making a statement of fact, which is what I did, and then, you know, you have somebody just come at you, and then it's like, and in front of people, like, we're in a meeting, so she's doing this in front of people, and I'm like, all right, so you, not only are you being disrespectful, but you're also trying to embarrass me and letting other people think it'll be okay, because see, the people we were meeting with, one of the people, you know, our supervisor who was a previous supervisor, so he knows me, my other partner that I work with, he knows me, but the other two ladies, they're new, so they don't know me at all, but now, you know, you're kind of putting it on the table that it's okay to blow up at me, and I'm going to sit there and let you. And, you know, again, my head is like, look, I'm a grown man, but you know what? I don't argue with women. Let me call my wife and have her come talk to you. Let me call my sister, you know, one of the other people, one of my cousins, somebody, another female, they don't have no problem getting all up in the female's face and just be like, yo, let me tell you what this chick said to me, and just step back and let the chips fall where they may. That's the human side. The Christian in me sat there and took it. But I know me, and I know I have a breaking point. And then I got to start over again. You know, it's like the pressure builds up. You got to relieve that pressure, or there's going to be, or like a volcano. And that's what I've been describing. I'm like a volcano. I'm dormant for a long time. And underneath, the pressure is building. The pressure is building. The pressure is building. And eventually, there is an eruption. And a lot of times with an eruption, the lava just comes out and all kinds of stuff gets destroyed, stuff close to the volcano and stuff, you know, all the way down at the bottom because the lava just spilling out. And then eventually the eruption stops and it cools, and then it might not erupt again for years. There's some volcanoes that erupt like once every 100 years or something. And, I really see myself as that type of natural disaster, so to speak. I don't erupt all the time. I get angry, and I try not to. You know, I talked about my anger issues in the past from being, you know, from things that went on in my childhood. So I talked about that. So I do my best not to get angry. But when I do get angry, I find myself, again, I hold my tongue. I don't say the things that I know I could say because it's not going to help anything. You know, I don't try to hurt people's feelings. I don't make the threats and all the stuff that other people do. But I know eventually it's going to boil over. You know, there will be an eruption, and then I'm going to come for somebody next, and then I'm going to be the bad guy. So that's the thing. That's the thing with people who like to come at people like, you know, people like me, whether they're coming at other Christians or just coming at people whose personality trait is to not create a scene, is that when you finally have had enough and you finally say something, now you're the bad guy. You become Tony Montana, right? Look at the bad guy. That's what you become. You become the bad guy because usually when it happens, it's not in private. Like, she tried to embarrass me in public, in front of people. So when the explosion comes, when the eruption comes, it's going to come in front of somebody. And then she's going to feel some kind of way. And I'm, you know, I'm going to feel some kind of way because that's not, again, I'm doing my best not to be there. As a Christian, you know, I'm still trying to aspire to be like Christ. I'm not there yet. But I'm also, you know, but as a man, I'm not going to sit and just let people say and do whatever they want. You're not going to walk all over me. You're not going to treat me like a doormat because you know what I'm trying to do with my life. You know who I'm trying to represent. You know that I'm trying to exude Christ-like behavior. You know I'm trying to live by the golden rule. You know that. And so you take advantage of that. For me, again, this is me, For me, that's of the devil. To see somebody, and I'm not talking about like basketball. You know, sports is one thing. You know, take advantage of, you know, a weakness. That's sports. Hey, whatever. That's a whole nother, conversation. But if you're, you know, in a person, when you're dealing with people, specific people on a regular basis, but you know that that person has, call it a weakness if you want to, but or call it, you know, whatever you want to, when you decide you have an advantage, and you decide to exploit that advantage routinely, especially when it's of their character, they're trying to exude a good character, and you decide to use that against them by mistreating them because you know that the reaction is not going to be what you would normally get from somebody else, that is of the devil. It's like you're using their Christianity against them. You're using their love for Christ against them and often professing it yourself. But remember, the devil was an angel. So many have drawn nigh unto him with their lips, but their hearts are far removed from him. So someone can profess Jesus all they want and still come at you with the devil on their heart. So, you know, I see I have to be a lot more scrutinizing when I deal with people. I mean, I do that anyway. But see, I try to surround myself with positive people, with other Christians. And if you're not a Christian, I still, you know, positive people. I'm not that type of Christian that's like, well, I can only hang out with Christians because, like I already just said, not all Christians are the type of people you want to hang out with, despite them going to church. Going to church don't make you a Christian. But I see I have to be more discerning and more, I have to do what I don't want to do, which is pick people apart. Almost, you know, every little thing they say, I got to listen more. I mean, I listen to what people say anyway. Everybody says to me, you don't talk, because I'm always listening. But see, now I have to listen and go deep and know what does she mean by it. And I hate doing that. I mean, that drives me crazy. But that's a lot of work. But you know what? Sometimes you have to remove yourself from situations before they get out of hand. Or put that shield up. Like, I got to be able to say to certain people, this is as far as I'm going to let you go, because you can't hurt me if I don't let you in, you know, to a certain, past a certain point. And a lot of times we invite the enemy in without even realizing it. And that has to be something that I have to be mindful of, is inviting the enemy in the name of trying to be a good Christian. Even as a Christian, you have to recognize the enemy and put your defenses up and be girded, you know, with the whole armor of God. Because the devil don't always look like the devil. That's why he's able to do everything he's able to do, because he's able to trick everybody. So, you know, is it okay for a Christian to stand up for themselves? I believe so, because I know Christ stood up for his father, especially when he went to the temple and he saw what they were doing at the temple. And he turned over the tables and he drove the animals out, and he was angry. He stood up for what he believed in. So I believe that we should do the same. And I'm not talking about the political stuff. So that's about all the time I got. You know, I really, honestly, I didn't think it would take me the whole show. But, you know, this was something that bothered me to no end, and, you know, perhaps I'll have to revisit it, maybe with a special guest or somebody in the future. But thank you for spending a little bit of time with me. For my Christian brothers, happy brothers and sisters, happy Resurrection Sunday for tomorrow. And I hope you have a good week. Take care of one another. Love one another. The yard is closed. He shut my gate on the way out.